So a call to worship. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And so we continue to worship God as we sing the hymn 21, born in song. God's people have always been singing. So let us pray. Blessed God, we yearn to see your vision of justice and love and peace. We love to think that they might be made real for us today. Open our eyes to the way of love, that we may see your brilliant light shining into the hidden places of our hearts and the darkened corners of the world. Redeeming God, you come to us in Christ to rescue us from slavery and lead us out of captivity. Guide us by the wisdom of the cross and show us how to live a life of justice and love and blessedness. And these prayers we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so we come now to our Old Testament readings.
This reading is from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted. And what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Thanks be to God.
Our second Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless, and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury, and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. And so we sing again. We sing the hymn 615. Let love be real in giving and receiving, without the need to manage and to own. Thank you. To listen to our New Testament readings from Paul's letter to the Corinthians and from the Gospel of Matthew.
This reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Thanks be to God.
We sing again the hymn 244. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see our God. Beatitudes of Jesus, as we have done this morning, It's perhaps useful, first of all, to say what the Beatitudes are not. The Beatitudes are not Hallmark greeting cards. Jesus wasn't waxing sentimental when he spoke of blessing and favor and happiness and good fortune. And the Beatitudes are not to-do items. They're not suggestions or instructions or commandments or quid pro quo. There's nothing about them that smacks of a should or a must or an ought. And the Beatitudes are not inducements to shame. The point is not to read the litany of blessings for the poor and the disenfranchised and then walk away feeling like a spoiled, overprivileged wretch. And the Beatitudes are not permission slips for passivity. To use Jesus' teaching about sorrow and meekness and poverty and persecutions to keep oppressed people oppressed is to distort and render these sayings monstrous. And finally, the Beatitudes are not pie in the sky. When Jesus promises his listeners the kingdom of heaven, he's not asking them to grit their teeth and wait patiently for death to come along and alleviate whatever hell they're living in. Rather, the Beatitudes in this morning's Gospel describe a genuinely countercultural style of life. In a world of wealth and war, says Jesus, blessed are the poor and the peacemakers. Instead of violence and vengeance, blessed are the mournful, the meek, and the merciful. Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher of Nazism, scoffed at the Beatitudes as prescriptions for sheep and slaves. And he scoffed because he knew what a devastating challenge Christ was to the Nazi vision of the Superman. And when the powerful forces of conformity tempt us to prove ourselves, we might look to Mary Oliver's poem, a poem called Today, where she says, "Today I'm flying low and I'm not saying a word. I'm letting all the voodoos of ambition sleep." To live the Beatitudes is to live differently as one of the true crazy ones. In one of his sermons, Martin Luther King Jr. called living the Beatitudes a life of transformed nonconformity. And its permutations are as numerous as our personalities and our life situations. In reading regularly these first few verses of the Sermon on the Mount might keep us in touch with who we are and what we are, for essentially the Beatitudes are Jesus' manifesto. And we know now, don't we, how important manifestos are. And we know how important it is to keep people to their manifesto, to do what they say they will do in their manifesto. And this is Jesus' manifesto for us. Nadia Boltz-Weber is the founder and former pastor of a Lutheran congregation called House for All Sinners and Saints. And she says this: maybe the Sermon on the Mount is all about Jesus' lavish blessing of the people around him on that hillside, blessing all the accidental saints in this world, especially those who that world, like ours, didn't seem to have much time for. People in pain, people who work for peace instead of profit, people who exercise mercy instead of vengeance. Maybe Jesus was simply blessing the ones around him that day who didn't otherwise receive blessing, who had come to believe that for them, blessings would never be on the cards. And doesn't that sound like something that Jesus might do? Extravagantly throwing around blessings as though they grew on trees. And so, says Nadia, I imagine Jesus standing among us today, offering some new beatitudes. Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are they who doubt. Those who aren't sure, who can still be surprised. Blessed are they who are spiritually impoverished and therefore not so certain about everything that they no longer take in new information. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are the preschoolers who cut in line at communion. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are they for whom death is not an abstraction. Blessed are they who have buried their loved ones, for whom tears could fill an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried. Blessed are they who don't have the luxury of taking things for granted anymore. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those who mourn. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those who no one else notices. The kid who sits alone at school lunch tables, the laundry guys at the hospital, and the night shift workers who sweep our streets. Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented. Blessed are the teens who have to figure out ways to hide the new cuts on their arms. Blessed are the meek. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones who never catch a break, the ones for whom life is hard. For Jesus chose to surround himself with people like them. Blessed are those without documentation. Blessed are the ones without lobbyists. Blessed are foster kids and special ed kids and every other kid who just wants to feel safe and loved. Blessed are those who make terrible business decisions for the sake of people. Blessed are the burned out social workers and the overworked teachers and the pro bono case takers. Blessed are the kind-hearted football players and the fundraising trophy wives. Blessed are the kids who step between the bullies and the weak. Blessed are they who hear that they are forgiven. Blessed is everyone who has ever forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful, for they totally get it. Modern blessings, modern beatitudes for the 21st century. And finally, two last words. The penultimate word from Malcolm Geat, an Anglican priest and a poet. And he's written a poem called The Last Beatitude. Blessed are the ones we overlook, the faithful servers on the coffee rota, the ones who hold no candle, bell or book, but keep the books and tally up the quota. The gentle souls who come to do the flowers. The quiet ones who organize the fete. Church sitters who give up their weekday hours. Doorkeepers who may open heaven's gate. God knows the depths that often go unspoken amongst the shy, the quiet, and the kind. Or the slow healing of a heart long broken, placing each flower so for a year's mind. Invisible on earth without a voice, in heaven their angels glory and rejoice. And the very last word from Debbie Thomas, an American writer and theologian. Blessed are you, so now go, become what you are, give away what you seek, bless what God blesses, and turn this world on its head. Rejoice and be glad, for you are God's children, and the kingdom of heaven is yours, and the one who blesses you is very near. Amen. And so we sing the hymn 504. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day. Thank you. Now, as part of our morning worship, the offertory will be received. Gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks for all your blessings to us, blessings we have enjoyed down through the years. We thank you for Jesus, for his life and ministry, for his death and resurrection. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which guides us and informs us and supports us. And as we make these offerings, and as we stand, we commit ourselves once again to your service. Bless all that we have to offer, that it might be used for the extension of your kingdom and to help those in need. For Christ's sake. Amen. We come now to our prayers. First of all, some prayers of confession and then some prayers of intercession. So let us pray. Let us confess our sins, for God delights in blessing those who seek to walk with God. God, we have not done what is blameless and right, nor spoken truth from the heart with love. We do not keep your word. When we participate in gossip, our words and deeds cause pain. Forgive us by the power of your mercy, that we might stand in the goodness of Christ and walk in the light of his love. Sisters and brothers, your sins are forgiven by the faith of Christ, who chose love over hatred and forgiveness over blame. Rejoice and be glad, for God's mercy is great, and Jesus brings healing and justice and peace. Amen.
These are our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your blessings that you've given to us and help us to keep faith in them. Lord, we thank you for always being with us, listening, watching and guiding, with sometimes a gentle prodding, asking a friend to either make a telephone call or arrange a visit, so we can talk about any problems or difficulties we may have. Give us courage to have faith and trust in you by spending time in prayer can help us with the day-to-day living of our busy lives. Father, we ask you to support the people of China, especially in the province of Wuhan, that patience and understanding will help them during this time of worry and fear, that the quarantine restrictions will soon be lifted, allowing free movement for everyone. We think about the English residents and their families that have been flown back to spend 14 days in isolation in hospital, so they can be monitored by qualified nurses and doctors to make sure no one has the coronavirus. Give thanks to the scientists who are working hard and tirelessly to find a vaccine to protect the residents of China and surrounding areas. Our thoughts go to the firefighters in Australia as they continue to battle with the devastating bushfires that are raging everywhere, causing homes and possessions to be destroyed. Be with the volunteers who are making sure that anyone who is homeless has a safe and secure place to stay, being given food, clothes and support to help them in their time of need. Father, we ask you to give help to the farmers in East Africa, as due to the heavy rainfall, the crops are being eaten by hordes of locusts, which could cause famine in that country soon. We ask you to be with the chairman, lawyers and companies who are giving evidence to the inquiry of the Grenfell Tower fire. Let the dialogue on truth, however heart-rending it will be, that lessons will be learned so that tragedy will never happen again. Lord, we bring to you our church in Nappeal, for the day nursery, brownies, guides, the Close for You clothing bank and other organisation that use our facilities. At the moment there is a lot to do with making sure the building is maintained and all the appliances function as they should. So support us in that endeavour. These are our prayers sent to you with our love. Amen.
Our closing hymn is 639. I'd like us to sing this slightly differently, so that if the women would sing, please, verse 1, and the men would sing verse 2, and we'll all sing verse 3. So 639, through the love of God our Saviour, all will be well. Spirit of the Beatitudes, commit to leading a life of blessing, living in compassion and in simplicity and in peace. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine brightly on your path as you walk the way of justice and peace and the blessing of God, the Creator, the Healer, and the Giver of life, bless you today and keep you always. Amen.